It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And of course, this time of year, the events become fewer and more predictable. Deer tracks, rabbit tracks, an occasional otter if you have open water, and the birds that come to your bird feeders. And my report is primarily dealing with those guys. We have had, of course, the regulars. That would be the chickadees, the red-breasted nuthatch, the white-breasted nuthatch, the blue jays. We have hairy and downy woodpeckers, a red-bellied woodpecker, a pileated woodpecker, probably plural on all of those except for the red belly, and we only have one, and he has been a regular visitor at our feeder since last summer, and we've watched him evolve to have the complete red head of a male. And so we have this one red bellied woodpecker with a complete red head, and we're hopeful that come spring he will attract a mate and we can have we can add more red bellies to our population. I think the one thing that is kind of interesting, let's see, last week I talked about having a few American goldfinches at my feeder, but very few, and none this week, and of course no juncos. The kids reported juncos in the Twin Cities area at Weaver Lake, and also in the Prairie River or Prairie Creek Community School report, there was a report of juncos as well. So there are juncos primarily south of us. Maybe you have some juncos staying at your house, and you could let us know about that. The interesting thing, and the thing that's kind of been a subject of some conversation among some of us phenologists, are the birds that are not here, the birds that we would have expected to see by now, and among them would be red poles, pine siskins, and I think most missed by me anyway are the pine grosbeaks, those beautiful males are kind of a dusty, rosy pink, red, I guess, and the females are more gray with splashes of some orange on them. They have not been at my house, and in the past years have not been at my house in significant numbers, but every year I usually see some. I haven't seen any this year at my house yet, and I think a lot of other people are in the same boat. They just don't seem to be finding too many pine grosbeaks in our area. Now, our good friends up in Cherry, the Tokarczuks, have evening grosbeaks. They've had a flock of evening grosbeaks that has come to their feeder every year for at least the past 7 or 8 years and possibly longer. And I think I'm a little envious of them. And not too far from them to the south, in the Sachs-Zim Bog, there are evening grosbeaks. And, of course, there are great gray owls over there. And it's a wonderful place. If you're missing out on some of the winter birds that you would expect to see, a trip to the Sachs-Zim Bog would be really quite an adventure. It's an interesting piece of the country, and it has some marvelous birding, including boreal chickadees, the aforementioned evening grosbeaks, pine grosbeaks, the great gray owls, the hawk owls, the snowy owls. There are just a lot of birds over there that don't show up in a lot of other places in the state. So if you're not too far from the Sachs-Zim Bog, it's probably a good idea to head that way. Every winter, while we look at these birds, we occasionally get an odd visitor or someone who we would have expected to migrate who hasn't migrated yet. And the odd visitor is usually the varied thrush, a sort of a robin-sized and robin-like bird. This bird has a kind of a gray-brown back and a red breast, but has a striking black bib right across the breast. So the hermit thrush is, the varied thrush is a bird of the West, and every winter there seem to be several that end up in northern Minnesota, and we get reports of them. So far this winter, the varied thrush has not appeared, but as my slip of the tongue may have tipped you off, there is a hermit thrush in the area. My friend Roland Heaton, living up on Clearwater Creek, has a hermit thrush that is staying at his house for the winter, or at least has been staying to this point. And who knows, when you can fly, any day might seem like a good day to head south. But this hermit thrush, he has a nice picture of it. I looked at the picture and I couldn't agree more. It is, in fact, a hermit thrush. And I think Harry or Sean or any of the other birders that I know would probably confirm that it's a hermit thrush, and that occasionally there are hermit thrushes that will attempt to overwinter in northern Minnesota. Roland just happens to be the lucky guy this year. If you have an unusual bird in your yard, we would like to hear from you. Let us know who's visiting your place, and we'll share that with our listeners. The other bird that has made itself known to me over the last week, I have not seen it, but that isn't unusual. That bird is the great horned owl, and the male and female are calling back and forth to one another, not every night, but pretty much consistently throughout the last week. My wife and I have been awakened in the middle of the night listening to the chorus of the great horned owl. He utters a phrase and she responds. And though you might think this an odd time of year for them to get active, this is in fact their courtship period, and they will be mating in January and beginning their nesting in February. The great horned owls don't build their own nests. They simply appropriate somebody else's. And since most of the residents of these large stick nests that are found in the woods that owls find habitable are gone south, they would include red-tailed hawks and other large birds like crows or ravens. And I think that for the most part, if a great horned owl decides that he or she or they like your house, there's not much you can do about it. It would be like if a very large bear moved into your house and decided he liked it and was going to stay. You know, if you didn't have the intellect of a human being, if you were simply a large mammal, without anything to defend your home other than your hands, you would probably give way to that bear. Same way for the great horned owls. If they take over a bird's nest, the bird doesn't have a lot of choice. It's kind of like, oh, you like my house? Well, you can have it. So, it's the time of year to be listening for the great horned owls. I saw a bald eagle this last week, probably one of the residents of the nest by my house. It was headed that way, low and sailing in, and I can only assume that the eagle's nest was its chosen landing spot. And that's not unusual. There was a time years ago when eagles were rare, and seeing one any time of the year was pretty outstanding. But lately the populations have expanded, and with the deer herd being as large as it is and the number of people who crack into deer and kill them and leave them scattered alongside the roads, provides ample food for bald eagles. So all they need is food. The 40 degree below zero temperatures that can be reached here in northern Minnesota are nothing to them. They can tolerate that as long as they have a belly full of food. So great for us, bad for the deer, good for the bald eagles. They're all kind of hanging out and making a time of it. The other critter that I noticed this past week was the little red-backed vole. that has come out underneath our feeder and is busy gathering seeds and disappearing back under the snow. The snow out by my feeder looks like Swiss cheese. Every time I cut into it with a shovel, I try to keep the ground under the feeder sort of exposed so that those animals that can't get to the feeder, like the squirrels and the little voles, they need to eat too. So if the birds can spill some over the edge, those guys can eat as well. And so I keep that ground cleared, but around that area where the ground is not cleared, where the snow is piled up, there are holes and tunnels. This little vole was like, it poke its head out in one spot, then disappear, and then come up somewhere else. And yesterday, as I was shoveling some of the 7 inches of snow that fell at my house yesterday, I noticed a lot of trails that I was unearthing, a lot of holes that were being exposed by my shovel that were made by the voles. Basically, Harry Hutchins has taught me that the voles are those animals that live under the snow, and they get the appellation subnivian, which simply means under snow. And those that travel on top of the snow are the mice. So voles and shrews and that crowd under the snow, mice on top of the snow. If you see lots of little tracks on top of the snow, it's probably a mouse. And if you look at those tracks carefully, sometimes you'll see what looks like a dividing line between the sets of tracks. And if that's the case, it's usually a jumping mouse, because the jumping mouse has a very long tail. And the mouse isn't able to hold that tail up high enough to keep it out of the snow. So when it walks, it drags. And you see this line that separates the tracks down the middle. So watch for that. Think about the jumping mouse when you see that. There are lots and lots and lots of little animals out there that we otherwise would never see. And really, we don't see them this time of year. We only see their tracks. But seeing their tracks is exciting in the sense that it gives you a chance to understand that those animals are there. We just don't see them very often. The other animals of the winter that have been leaving tracks, the porcupine is still walking up and down my driveway. I saw some twinned tracks, which could have been a mink or maybe a fisher, but probably too small for a fisher. I think possibly a mink walked through the area. If you go down along the edge of the lake, you'll see lots of mouse tracks along the edge in the sedge grasses that grow there. And besides mice, that's a good spot for fox and mink and a whole host of other animals that might be going along out there, along with the sliding tracks of the otters. And this is the time of year when if you get out and you're around moving water where there might be an opening where an otter can get in and out, you'll see these big grooves where they have slapped down on their bellies and slid for a while. Get a little sliding in yourself. Now is the season. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Tune in again next week and we'll do it all again.